Sefer, 9 o'clock sharp on a Tuesday morning, Sefer Mitzvot, the four fasts in modern day Israel.
Okay, so we've used these sources before, but I want to review them, but go in a slightly different direction. First, I want to do something that's not on the sheet. A, because I didn't have room on the sheet, and B, because I only thought of it like a half an hour ago. After the sheet was finished.
We want to welcome all the new visitors here.
We want to welcome all the new visitors
here. weather
today.
Whose names are?
Well,
Raziel.
Huh?
Raziel.
Raziel.
Cool.
Jonathan. Not as cool a name as Raziel.
Well, you know.
In certain parts of the world, it's a really cool name, but not around here. Okay. Let's start with a basic question. Why do we fast? If I ask you, you know, what do you think the reason for the fast is?
It's the halacha.
We're afflicting ourselves.
You follow the halacha.
Anybody want to answer seriously?
We're afflicting ourselves.
Anybody want to answer seriously? What do we afflict?
No,
that's young. Okay, I'm sorry. We'll take a step back. There are six fast days in the Jewish calendar. Okay, one is, there's only one Minat Torah, that's Yom Kippur. It doesn't fit into any category. Yom Kippur, we understand, we're not talking about Yom Kippur today. On the other end is Tanis Esther, the least important of the fast, which you could argue, you know, fits into some bigger category, but it's not necessary. We're talking about today four fasts. Four fasts that we all know as connected to Churban Beis HaMikdash. They are Tzom Gedalia, Asara B'Teves, Shivasar B'Tammuz, and Tisha B'Av. Okay? Now I ask again, forgetting halacha, forgetting ask, why do we fast on those 4 days? One reason for all four.
Commemoration of the...
Presumably, right? It's a commemoration of a tragedy that happened. You know, the same tragedy runs through all four of the fast days. To some extent, okay? You know, Tisha B'Av is the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. We'll do it this way, just so we can get our bearings. In historic, what's the order of the fast days in history?
Siege.
Huh?
The siege
started on what day?
10th of Tevet.
Bruce saying, Asar B'Teves, then what?
Then the breach of the walls.
Okay, breach of the walls, Shivasar B'Tammuz.
And the destruction of the day.
Okay, Tisha B'Av. Wait.
Oh, Fast of Gedalia, rather. Well, no, that's later.
Huh? So in Bruce's, there's in one telling, Bruce is right. Then the last one is Tzom Gedalia, meaning after the destruction, we were still there.
Mm-hmm.
We had a Jewish governor of Judea, of Jerusalem, certainly, named Gedalia. When we killed him, that was the end. Then the Romans had enough with us, and, okay. The other telling is the opposite, that Asar B'Teves is the last one. Either Asar B'Teves is the day that the siege started, or Asar B'Teves is the day that the word of the destruction of the temple reached, you know, Yechezkel and the
right.
Jews who were already in exile. Okay? Now also to be clear, it's not 1 year. Even if this is telling... The siege started, it's not like the siege started on Asar B'Teves in the middle of the winter, and then on the 17th of Tammuz, they broke through the walls. It was a few years later. Okay? Also, as I think I mentioned when we discussed this previously, the really fascinating thing is, again, we have some sense. The old city today is not exactly the same as the old city in those days, but the sizes aren't that off. And the idea that they broke through the walls on the 17th of Tammuz, and it took them till the 9th of Av, 3 weeks later, to destroy the temple, means the fighting was fierce. I mean, literally house to house. It took them that long to advance, you know, the hundreds of meters it takes.
But the wars will get it.
Okay. To a certain extent. Okay. Now, so when we ask why do we fast, the one answer seems to be, and everybody seems to agree with it, we fast because tragedies occur. So, now as the next question, why do we fast because tragedies occur? Like, okay, it's true.
We're assuming guilt.
Okay, we're assuming guilt, so now let's change it a little bit.
We want to be affected by it.
We want to be affected by it, but religiously, how do we want to be sad, or we want... Okay, so let's start. Here's what happened. The Rambam in Hilchos Taniyos, just to make it clear, the Rambam says as follows. Mitzvat, it's not on the sheet, I'm sorry. Mitzvat asei min ha-Torah. There's a mitzvah min ha-Torah. Lizoku lehariya, to cry out to God when something terrible is happening. Not happened, but happening. God forbid there's a war, there's a drought, there's a plague, okay? There's a mitzvah min ha-Torah to cry out to God. Not just to cry out to God, but to cry out to God in the form of tshuva. Okay? The Rambam says one of the greatest sins that the Jews can do is to say, this tragedy is befalling us, but it's a coincidence. You know, bad things happen. It has nothing to do with our behavior. The Rambam says one of the core ideas for a Jew is to know that everything has to do with our behavior. And therefore, if you want to prevent a tragedy, you call a fast, but it's not a fast of, and nothing bad has happened yet. What is it? It's a fast of tshuva. It's a fast of repentance. It's a fast where you get together and you say, what are we doing wrong that we could fix? And if we fix it, then presumably we can call on God to intervene, or, you know, God will see that we're better than we had been, and therefore he'll help us. That's the beginning of Hilchos Taniyos. And then the Rambam talks, it's just interesting because we don't have fasts like this. That, you know, 1,000 years ago, and even 600 years, these were the fasts that you had. The community called a fast. Something terrible is happening. We should fast. When you thought of fast, you didn't really think of the temple as we do nowadays. You know, we're less organized as a Jewish community, right? When you open the Mishnayos in Taniyos, they're all about drought. All the fasts that you go through, they're to prevent something bad that is happening, and we like to stop that.
Epidemics.
Yes. We could think of many, many more bad things if we wanted, but
give
thank it, you for
give
that.
Give me time up.
I know. Ingrown toenail. Oh, there's a lot of stuff that... Okay. Now, says the Rambam, when you finally get to the fifth parak, Yesham Yamim Shekol Yisrael Mitanim Bohem, there are days, there also, he says, there are days that all of Jewish people fast on, Mipnei Hatzarot She'iru, because of bad things that happened. And they are the fasts that we're in the middle of now that we're going to discuss. Why? Now here's the point I think that we all miss, and here's what I want to touch on in the shiur. Kidei le'orer halivavod, to, as you said, to sort of open our hearts, v'liftoach darkei hatshuva. Says the Rambam, all fasts share the same character, the same main character trait, which is they are fasts of repentance. Sometimes we're repenting so that God will not bring some terrible thing on us. Sometimes we're repenting because it happened already and it's so bad and we want to make sure it doesn't happen again. And if you miss the point, the Rambam says the point is Zikaron lema'aseinu hara'im u'ma'asei avoteinu shehaya kima'aseinu ata ad shegaram lohem v'lanu otan atzarot. The Rambam says on a fast day you're supposed to think about the bad things that we're doing today, which are very similar, says the Rambam, to the bad things that our great, 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 great grandfathers did generations ago, which caused this terrible event. Now, how does the Rambam know that we're doing bad things today? He doesn't say. My guess is because he believes, takes seriously the idea that the Beit HaMikdash has not been rebuilt. It's because we're not worthy of having the Beit HaMikdash be rebuilt, which means we must be doing something wrong. So you could think about that every day, but the short answer in the Rambam is, but there are 4 days a year where Chazal kind of force us to think about it. And it's not just we're mourning the loss of the temple. What we're supposed to be doing, is thinking about what was it that our great, 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 great grandparents did wrong that generated the destruction of the temple, and how can we do tshuva for those things? Right? But at their core, although we're correct to think that they're sad days, but at their core, they're days of tshuva. Okay? Now, one last, I just point out, when the Rambam connects, and everybody really connects avelut and tshuva, we don't really connect it to ourselves. And I'll tell you why. I don't mean to insult anybody, and I think about it for myself. In a perfect world, if we're really saintly, every time somebody died, we would ask why. Now, it's dangerous, because it's none of my business why somebody in your family died. And certainly, you don't need me showing up to the Shiva and explaining exactly what it is that your family did wrong that, you know, that brought about... By the way, it's not for the 3 weeks. This is too funny. Have you ever watched that YouTube clip of what not to say at a Shiva? You know, it's absolutely hysterical. Like, and you could at least see, like there's a guy, it's filmed from, like, from up, like the Avel is sitting down, and it's like a guy saying, so you're saying he, so then Pasha, he was jaywalking, you're saying, when he got hit, right? Okay? Okay, I shouldn't have said that. But we want to change. But anyway, they're just, my wife, she's that shit, but like, people need to learn, like, what to say. Anyway, but the point is, we shy away from that. It's dangerous stuff, and I admit it's dangerous stuff. But really, avelut, you know, the Rav has a long piece of it, is also a form of doing tshuva and a form of introspection and, you know, time to ask yourself why. And, you know, again, obviously, there's a difference between ages and circumstances, and everybody dies. It's all true. But that's part of it. Okay? So the introductory point I want to make is that for the Rambam, and really for all of us, it's not really subject to machlokes, we fast because of the Churban. But the reason for the fast is to do tshuva, Mr. Weiser.
Loila Levi needs to wake up her heart.
Right.
But you said something else.
Yeah, because I know. Because what does it mean to wake up your heart? Is your heart sleeping? You have a heart alarm clock? It means to this is how I translate it.
To be aware.
Aroused.
Correct. To be moved by.
I wanted to
wake up your heart means to cause you to look around and say, why is this happening? You know, how could I be better? Okay, now, that's introductory point number one. Introductory point number two is that, I haven't seen it yet, but somebody in the next 10 days will write an article saying, what are we fasting for? You know? We live in the modern state of Israel. We believe, we say it in shul, you know, reishit smichat gulatein, whatever it is that we say. Isn't it kind of, you know, rejecting God's goodness that we're all here, by pretending that nothing good is going on and that we need to mourn the temple? Okay? Now, the short answer, of course, to give away the whole share is, you know, assuming Mashiach doesn't come, we will fast a week from this Sunday. It's not really a good question halachically, but it's a very good question philosophically. It's a very good question to ask ourselves, you know, where are we in the historical process? What would it take to stop fasting? Right? When the Rambam said, you know, what kind of behavior would we need to generate to fix these problems? Okay?
But if you conceive of Israel as Bayit Shlishi, then it changes the whole perspective.
Okay, so that's what I want to talk about. It turns out that, you know, this isn't the... Let's assume, and I'm sure I'm speaking to the choir here, because everyone lives in Israel, that we see value in the modern... We see religious value in the modern state of Israel. We see it as a step forward. We could argue how much of a step forward it is. I'll tell you this, just, you know, a friend of mine, I remember, he went to talk to him about something, and he asked him about, you know, the modern state of Israel and Geula, whatever, and Rilifstein, who was a sports fan as a kid, and really knew a lot of sports, said, you know, I wouldn't say it's a touchdown. He said, I would say it's a first down on the 40. Okay, that's what he said. Of course, I asked the guy, who's 40? He said, I forgot to ask. I don't know, you know. But anyway, it means, for all Americans here, they understand what that means. Okay? I was trying. I was trying to think of some kind of parallel to your sport, but it's so boring. Your sport doesn't have. I will say, I heard a rumor that football is coming home. Just want to say, I heard that rumor, but I doubt it. Okay, now it happens to be there was a time in history where, you know, similar to today a little bit, and the Navi talks about it. The Navi in the first source says as follows. One last introductory comment. The second Beis HaMikdash was completed in the sixth year of the reign of Darius, Daryavesh. It was started in the second year. Okay? As we all know, most you know, certainly the higher level Jews, and by numbers, the overwhelming majority of Jews stayed in Bava. Okay? Which, for purposes of our discussion, they stayed in the five towns, you know, they stayed in Teaneck. Sephat, they stayed in London, where they stayed in Golders Green, they stayed in Teaneck. Okay? Teaneck. We should have a fast day on the day. There's destruction of the
house. Okay? All the time.
The tragedy.
Right? Fast all the time.
Modern day tragedy. Rich people buy a house, you know. Okay, never. Okay, now. So, here's what happened. Here we read the pasuk. Vahi bishnat abale Daryavesh HaMelech. So it's right in the middle. It's the fourth year of the reign of Daryavesh. Hayad v'Hashem al zechaya ba'arba al ha'chodesh ha'tshivi k'slev. God came to the middle of the winter. Vayishlach beit el sar etzem v'regem melech v'anashav l'chalot et p'nei Hashem. Take my word for it. A delegation comes from Bavel to ask an important question. Okay, now a generation comes, a delegation comes from Chutz La'aretz to ask the following question. What's the question? Leimor la'kohanim asher levet Hashem tzvakot v'el ha'nevim leimor. Ha'evke b'chodesh ha'chamishi. What's that? What's chodesh ha'chamishi?
That's Tishvat.
Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av. So, ha'evke b'chodesh ha'chamishi. Should I cry? Should I mourn on Tisha B'Av? He nazer. Should I refrain from eating? Kasher asiti zeh kamesh hanim. Why are they asking the question? Presumably the way I imagine it, because on the Harabais now, you know, there are earth-moving tractors and big things and scaffolding. You could see the Beit HaMikdash being rebuilt. So they come and they say, listen, there's a fast called Tisha B'Av. We've been fasting. How long have we been fasting for?
70 years,
give or take. Okay? It seems like a good question. They have a shaila. Should we keep fasting? Again, we could talk forever about why it is that the Jews from Teaneck came to ask the question and not the Jews from Tel Aviv. Okay, the answer is simple. There was no Tel Aviv. But Haifa and Tveria and Yerushalayim, you know. Apparently Tel Aviv is not from biblical times.
And Teaneck was there?
No, Teaneck.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Wow. Anyway, just go with it. Okay. So that, yeah. Now, so what's the answer? So the question is asked at the beginning of Perek Zayin. The second paragraph, the end of Perek Ches, the Navi gives us the most enigmatic pasuk ever. Vayidra Hashem Tzvakot Elay Limor. Says Zechariah, here's what God told me. Karma Hashem Tzvakot. Tzom HaRevi'i, Shivasa V'Tamuz, V'Tzom HaChamishi, Tisha B'Av, V'Tzom HaShivi'i, Tzom Gedalia, V'Tzom HaAsiri, Asar V'Teves, Yihya lebeit Yehuda lissasonu lissimcha ulemoadim tovim. They will be for the Jews days of gladness and happiness and holidays.
When Mashiach comes,
it doesn't say that. Vehaemet vehashalom ehavu. Then, like they just throw in some nice like bumper sticker slogan. I don't know, love peace. You know, peace out. Whatever. Vehaemet vehashalom ehavu. What's the answer? The question was, should we fast this Tisha B'Av? What's the answer? Yes. Anybody?
Yes.
What's the answer? I just read, this is the only pasuk. I promise you, I'm not hiding anything. This is the only pasuk. What's Zechariah's answer? So the answer is, I have no idea.
Waffle.
Right? What's the waffle?
He said, it's like, he said here, that, you know, he lists them out and he says it's going to be eventually it'll be...
He calls them, as the Gemara is going to say, He calls them Soma Reviv and Soma Chamish. Apparently they're fast days. Yihya lebeit Yehuda l'sason
u'simcha. The future is for me now.
Okay. So, you know, the future could be a year, could be 2 years. We're not wrong. I promise you, nobody understands the pasuk. It's one of these great psukim where you understand every word individually, but at the end you go, so what was the answer? I'm not sure. The Gemara is going to deal with it. But, first, we need to learn a different sugya. We'll do it quickly, but it's fascinating. Here's the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Forget everything we talked about till now. It's just interesting stuff. Said the Mishnah. Al shisha chadashim hashluchim yotzim. Bezdin, the Sanhedrin, when they used to establish the calendar al pi hari'iyah, meaning, how do we know when Rosh Chodesh is this coming month? Rosh Chodesh is this Friday. How do you know Rosh Chodesh is this Friday? The answer is, you look on your refrigerator. Because you got a calendar from your shul or from whatever, and that's how we know. But in the old days, before refrigerators, okay, They had to do it a different way. There was no calendar. Eidim came, whatever. So you needed to, what does it mean they send out shluchim? On certain months, it was really, really important to get the word out. Every month, as we know, but what's the lunar cycle? How long does it take?
29 and a half
and 287 halakim. I made that part up. It's 29 and a half plus some amount of halakim. I don't know how long a chalak is. Okay, whatever. It's 29 and a half. The problem is, we keep calendars by full days. So that means we more or less alternate 29-day months with 30-day months, right? A 29-day month means the 30th day is the first of the next month, one day Rosh Chodesh, like this, like Av. Okay? Tammuz, the 29th of Tammuz is Thursday. The 30th of Tammuz is not the 30th of Tammuz, it's the first day of Av, that's this coming Friday. Okay? Otherwise, if it's 2 days, so then 30 is Rosh Chodesh, but it belongs to the previous month, and the next day is the first of the next month. Okay? So 6 months a year we send out Shluchim, because we want to get the word out to people. It's very, very important to get the word out exactly when Rosh Chodesh was. One of those months. Al Nisan Mipnei HaPesach. Obviously, you want people to know exactly when Pesach is. You send out messages. Al Av Mipnei HaTa'anis. It means they kept on doing Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi Ariyah even after the destruction of Beis HaMikdash at some point, so the people know when, need to know when to fast. Al Elul Mipnei Rosh Hashanah. Okay? Obviously, you can't send out shluchim on Rosh Hashanah because they won't get anywhere. Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh. So they sent it out for Elul. Why? Because overwhelmingly, Elul is chaser. So if you know when Rosh Chodesh Elul is, you're 90% sure when Rosh Hashanah will be. Okay? Al Tishrei, nevertheless, they sent out for Tishrei also when you play Takanat HaMoadot because Sukkos and Yom Kippur are coming. You might as well be 100% sure, so we'll send out people for that. Al Kislev Mipnei Chanukah. Okay, I wouldn't have thought it's that important. Val Adar Mipnei Purim. Some other point we could discuss why Drabbanan.
This was after Bayis Sheni?
Ah, so it's interesting. Yeah, it's not after.
Chanukah didn't happen by Bayis Shlishi.
Correct. Yeah. So it's at some point during Bayis Sheni. It's hard to know. It's a very fair point. And then the Mishnah says at the end. Ukishahaya Beit HaMikdash Kayam Yotzim Al Iyar Mipnei Pesach Kata. Right? You would also send that messages for Iyar because of Pesach Sheni. Okay. No, because it would be 29 or 30 days. Right? Pesach Sheni is the next month. So
Pesach Kata is Pesach Sheni.
What?
Pesach Kata is Pesach Sheni.
Yeah.
There's no such thing called Pesach Kata.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there must be a thing called Pesach Katan. It's not. It's not. There's no such thing. It's Pesach Sheni. It's no other thing. Okay. Can I tell you a story? Years ago, I got stuck in Washington D.C. during the summer. I went on some business deal. So there's a shul there. So every morning I'd go to shul. I forgot what it's called. I think the rabbi like did something terrible recently.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Fine.
I could tell you the rabbi.
Anyway, it's funny. So like, so the that's not. You really want to know what he did? This is perfect.
Camera in the room?
You know, why don't we just have like great lush and hard during the 3 weeks to make sure the basement is just never rebuilt? Okay, it's my fault. Now, here's the thing. So first of all, the first thing you do when you come into a shul is you want to sit like not in somebody's seat, right? So I go to like the far side of the middle, whatever, and some old man comes over to me to say, "You're in the rabbi's seat." Okay, fine. So I'm embarrassed by that, but I move. Then you got to realize it's the middle of the summer. It's in August. So then that first Monday, the guy, this old man, like gives me psicho or something. Nice. I'm a new guy, you know, for laning. So I ask him which Sefer Torah to take out, because it wasn't clear. But he didn't hear me so clearly, so he said to me, "We only take out one." I thought they got nine. But then the next day they don't say Tachnun. And so other old man asks old man number one, who doesn't like me, he says, like, why don't we say Tachnun? So he says, it's probably Pesach Sheni. So I don't want. What I'm thinking is, man who thinks I don't know how many Sifrei Torah we take out on Monday. It's Tu B'Av.
Right.
It's the end of the summer. It can't be Pesach. Now maybe he meant Pesach Katan, which I never heard of. But I'm pretty sure there's only one.
Actually, okay. It's no surprise that the rabbi ended up.
Stop.
These are probably a bunch of Democrats.
I know his mother.
Here we go. Stop. We're not discussing it. We're not discussing it.
Yeah.
Number two. Now the Gemara says. Okay, 1 second. Stop for a second. Now, here's what... Let's back up for a second.
Swindell.
We...
Just came to me. You came to me slowly.
It's so weird. Usually the only one I ever want to kick out is Bruce.
Okay. Today?
I just want to say, Bruce, you're not the bad boy today. Today, Mr. Levy is misbehaving.
It came to me very slowly because I'm very old.
Okay. Luckily, you thought of it before Tuba. Okay. Now, in the Pasuk, they ask about the four, they ask, should we fast? And the answer is Tzoma Raviv and Tzoma Chamishi, right? Whatever the answer is, it's the same answer for all four. Let's notice that. In the Navi, they ask Zechariah, and he says, well, you know, again, it's hard to know what the answer is, but he's, all four fast days are in the same category in the Pasuk. Okay? Yeah. Now, we just saw a Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that you send out messengers for Tisha B'Av. Okay? Now the Gemara is going to ask in the second paragraph of number two, V'lifku nami atamuz v'teves. Wait, if you're sending out messengers so that people know when to fast for Tisha B'Av, why don't you send out messengers for Shiva Asar B'Tamuz and for Asar B'Teves? They don't ask about Tzom Gedalia because that's in Tishrei and we're sending out messengers anyway. But the Gemara, the assumption of the Gemara is, wait, all the fast days should be the same. So if you're fasting and you're sending out messengers, you should send out messengers for all four. Now, everybody here is thinking the same thing. We know that Tisha B'Av is more important than the other fast days, and that's true. But the question is, how do you know that? Right? The Gemara doesn't want to skip stages. We know that because we know that Tisha B'Av is 25 hours and has all these other prohibitions that the other fast days don't have. But again, that's not in the Pasuk. In the Pasuk, the four fast days are exactly the same halachically. So the Gemara asks, so lifku nami atamuz v'teves, why don't we send out messengers for Tamuz and Teves as well? Dam Rav Chana bar Bizna, Am Rav Shimon Chasida, my dichsiv, what does the Pasuk say? Our Pasuk, kol ma'ashem tfakos, soma reviv, itzoma chamishi, itzoma shivi, itzoma asiri, yihiyeh lebeit Yehudah l'sason ul'simcha. Ask the Gemara, what in the world does the Pasuk mean? On the one hand, karu luhut som. On the one hand, you know, we call it a fast. On the other hand, karu le sason v'simcha. On the other hand, we call it a holiday. What's going on? Answers the Gemara, bizman sheyesh shalom yihiyu le sason v'simcha. When there's shalom, then there'll be holidays. Ein shalom tzom. But if there's no shalom, then there'll be fast days. That's not how we pass. We pass like this next sheet. Amrav Papa Hachikamar. No, there's three categories. Bizman sheyesh shalom. When there's a thing called shalom, then what? Yihiyu l'sason ul'simcha. Yeshmad. If there's a thing called shmad, then tzom. It's mandatory. Ein shmad ve'ein shalom. If there's neither shalom or shmad, then Ratsu mit anin, ratsu ein mit anin. Then the fast is optional. Okay, let's stop for a second. Well, you know, let's finish, then we'll come back. Ihachi. So if you're saying, presumably the Gemara is saying as follows: we don't send out shluchim for the fasts. I'm guessing this because they're optional. It's not shalom. It's not shmad. So they're optional. Then the Gemara asks the obvious question: wait, if that's true. Ihachi Tisha B'Av Nami. If you're saying the reason why we don't send out shluchim for Shivasar B'Tamuz and Asar B'Teves are because those fasts are optional, then Tisha B'Av is also optional because they're treated the same way in the Pasuk. Answers the Gemara, Amrav Papa, no. Shiny Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is different than the other fasts. Ho'il V'huch B'Lu Botzarot. Because on Tisha B'Av, Huchpulu Botzarot. Anybody want to take a shot at that word? Huchpulu?
Double.
Double. Now, what does it mean in context? Double.
More severe.
Good. So if it means double from the word kefel, mm-hmm. then it has to mean the same bad thing happened twice on Tisha B'Av, which makes it a much more serious fast. What's that bad thing? Presumably, Churban Beis HaMikdash. But there's another possible meaning of Huchbulu. Right. Many, a bunch of bad things happened. And, you know, when you look in the Mishnah and Tainus, the answer is a bunch of bad things happened on Tisha B'Av. Namely, you know, the Chet HaMeraglim, right? Bar Kochba in Beitar, the two Batei Mikdash, right? Now, a lot of bad things happened on Shabbos and Batam was also, but presumably not as bad. Okay? So the answer is the Gemara, and now the Gemara says, along the lines of what Mr. Weiser suggested, the Amar Mar, the very end, B'tisha B'Av Charav HaBayit B'Rishona U'Bishniya, V'Nil Kida Beitar, V'Nech Risha Ha'ir, the city was plowed over, etc., etc. Okay. Now let's try to sort this out. On the one hand, we've answered our one fundamental question. How did Tisha B'Av become a more severe fast than the other fast? The answer is Huchbulu Botzarav. Huchbulu Botzarav means either, you know, the one thing happened twice or many, many bad things happened that make Tisha B'Av more severe. But let's go back to the Gemara, to the part that really matters. If you noticed, because it's a whole pedagogic method I have, I did not translate the key words. Mm-hmm. Okay? So the Gemara says, Bizman sheyesh shalom, yihiyu l'sason u'l'simcha. Again, all the Gemara is doing is trying to translate that pasuk from Zechariah that we didn't understand, right? Soma revivit soma chamishi, yihiyu l'beit yudah l'sason u'l'simcha. So we said, we being Mr. Levy, that, well, that's when Mashiach comes. But that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, when will they be holidays? Bizman sheyesh shalom. So now the question is, what's the translation of the word shalom? So one possibility for shalom is what?
Mashiach.
Excellent. Is that, it's a euphemism. When Mashiach comes, there'll be peace in the world, and that's when the fast days will be holidays. Okay, now, if that's the case, we have nothing to talk about Bizman Hazeh. We're happy to be living in the land of Israel. We're happy to have a strong defense force and all these things. But there's no Mashiach. So therefore, the fast days are... Well, therefore, let's be clear. There's no Shalom. So what are the fast days nowadays then? Well, let's do the two sides. Wait. So Shalom could be Mashiach, but what's another possibility for Shalom? If you don't know anything... Well, if I ask, Bizman Sheyesh Shalom, what's the answer? Huh? Okay, that's a negative.
Peace.
Now, but now let's. It's fine. Now you'll see the difficulty. Do we live in a time of peace or not?
Not.
No.
No.
I think we could argue it. You know, you could argue it. We'll do the other side. Okay? What's easy? We all know what Shmad means.
Apostasy.
Yes.
No, not in that context. What's Shmad?
Tyrannical oppression.
Practice
Judaism.
Again, inappropriate, but it's useful in this context. We're listening to something that's called, quote, Justice Potter. I don't know why. When he said, he said, right, I don't know the definition of pornography, but I know it when I see it.
How often did he
Shmad,
say it?
Shmad is the kind of thing where I don't know how to define it, but I know it when I see it. I know when there's persecution of Jews, I know what that means. I can't look it up in Webster's or in the Oxford English Dictionary, but I know what it means. Okay? So, I would submit, not for discussion, because I'm in charge of the shir, we don't live in a time of Shema. Right? Whatever's going on in Gaza and whatever people show up at the Tzomet with night, you know, we don't live in a time of Shema. Okay? We know what Shema looks like, and that's not what we're living in. But maybe, you know, maybe we live in Shalom, maybe we don't. So, let's look. It turns out, as always happens when you learn, if the word is given, could have possible meanings, it's almost certainly going to be a machlokus in what the word means. Yes?
Is there a downside if it is a period of shalom, but we're fasting, and is that sort of besmirching God's goodness?
So, the answer is that it's problematic to turn your back on God's goodness. Right, and I think one of the mistakes we make as religious people is that sometimes, you know, things are black and white. I fast, I don't fast, right? Which doesn't leave a lot of room for I'm fasting, but, you know, there's a big debate, which is more realistic, I think, around the text of Nachem, on Tisha B'Av. Right? You know, everybody fasts on Tisha B'Av. Nothing to talk about. But there are from people who have a problem with Nachem. Nachem says things that seem to not be accurate. Yizman Hazeh. So, for example, Nachem describes Yerushalayim as Ha'ir Ha'avela V'Habzuya V'Hashomeima Me'ein Yoshev. It's desolate. Okay? It's not desolate. Right? You know, you don't have to be the biggest Zionist in the world to realize that Jerusalem is not desolate. So, I think it's a fair point. Here, because fasting is binary, you either fast or you don't fast.
You're nimble.
What? You're a bad person. Okay, so, what does that mean? Right. Bruce, he does it because he's so frum. He eats pachos kei kashir on Tisha B'Av to show you like my father. So you don't, my father's old and sick. So, okay. Now, so let's look for a second. You see something fascinating. What's shalom? So look in source number 3, and Rashi, disrespectfully disagreeing with Mr. Levy, says, Sheyesh shalom, she'ein yad hagoyim tekefa al Yisrael. How would you translate that? The answer is, I translate, political sovereignty. It means we make our own decisions. Now, that, without having a whole political discourse here, you know, that's a good question. Do we really make our own decisions here, right? How concerned are we with the UN? How concerned are we with the United States? You know, you could argue the point. But it's interesting, Rashi doesn't do it in religious terms. Rashi says, what does it mean, bizman sheyesh shalom? It means, you know, that every decision we make, the decision we make about whether we should respond more forcefully to, you know, kites with flames, it's a decision we think is right. It's not because we're afraid of the UN. It's not because we're afraid of this or that. You could argue whether we live.
No, yeah. But the second place in Mitzvah, they were also.
We're getting not there. Under. I'm all over this. We're getting there. It's a good point. It's a good point. Now, what's the other possibility? Bizman sheyesh shalom. Number 4, the Ritva says, Ela Amru, ki bizman sheyesh shalom, kilomar sheyisrael shruyin al admatan, ubeit hamikdash kayam, then yihiyulu sason ol simcha, vimein shalom shebeit hamikdash charev, then they're not happy days. Okay? So the exact definitions that we thought might be, you know, might be the explanation for the word shalom in the Gemara, their machlokas are rishon. Again, if shalom means Beis HaMikdash, there's nothing to talk about. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. But if shalom means a form of political sovereignty, then, you know, you could argue.
It could be the same. In other words, why don't we have a Beis HaMikdash? Because we can't build it. We are not sovereign. And as today, the Goyim complained that we built it.
You sure?
Maybe. But the fact is that we certainly can't because we're not sovereign.
We don't want to interrupt the soccer game that's going on in the higher bodies.
Right. The sovereignty may be only if you can build it.
See, you're absolutely right that they're not unconnected.
Right.
But in the Rishonim, it's a real machlokes. You know, it really is. Although. Obviously, you know, you're moving in a certain direction, right? Presumably, there's a connection between shalom and building the Beis HaMikdash. But in this context, I really believe that Rashi might argue, and you'll see why it matters. But, well, you already hinted at it. There was a time in our history where we had a Beit HaMikdash, but probably we didn't have political sovereignty. For example, why did I start to share? The answer was because I planned to give a great shiur, and I had a whole idea. But why do we date the second Beit HaMikdash to the reign of Darius? Because if he didn't give us permission, we couldn't have built it. Right? We were not so politically sovereign. We were not so politically independent. We were during Bai Sheni lasted for how long?
400.
The usual, around 400 years. Okay? During that time, we had political sovereignty for some period of time. When was that? It's called Hanukkah. Right, it's called the Chashmonah. But otherwise, we're pretty much a vassal state and, you know, did what we were supposed to do, and it wasn't such a happy time. Okay? So, let's review. In the Gemara, it sounds like there are fast days, there are three categories, the three historical time periods into which the fast days can fall. One is Shmad, we're being persecuted. All four fast days are obligatory in that time. There's a thing called shalom, which is either there's a Beit HaMikdash, religious, or political sovereignty, right? Shalom means something political, in which those four fast days are holidays, and there's an in-between period. Ein shalom ve'ein shmad, then ratzu mitanim, ratzu ein mitanim, namely, it's, what was the word I'm looking for, the English word? Optional. Thank you. It's optional. Now, if it's optional, why did they send out shluchim for Tisha B'Av? Because it turns out Tisha B'Av is not optional in that scenario, because huchbulu botzarot, so many bad things happen on Tisha B'Av, the Jews either, it's not clear, either the din was, or we took it upon ourselves, that Tisha B'Av would be mandatory for us, and therefore Tisha B'Av remains mandatory. Okay? And presumably, not only did we accept on ourselves that Tisha B'Av would be mandatory, but we accepted upon ourselves that Tisha B'Av would look like the only real biblical fast, meaning Yom Kippur. 25 hours, prohibition on bathing, on family relations, on my favorite, anointing yourself, right? You can't anoint yourself. You go directly to hell. For okay?
I thought you said family relations, my favorite.
No. It was anointing.
Anointing.
It was definitely anointing.
You and Mr. B.
Can you
say
that?
Okay.
You redeemed yourself.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Parallel.
That's where we are. So, but Tisha B'Av is different because Huchbulu Botzarot, so it retains that. I mentioned this last time, and I really think it's, well, I'll save it for later. This is a good one. Now, here's a good question, and it's an incredible machlokas. The answer to our question of whether shalom means Beit HaMikdash or political sovereignty should be, well, what did they do during Bayis Sheni?
Right?
Did they fast on Tisha B'Av or not?
I thought they did.
But your memory is going, you know. You remember as a child, but you're not 100% sure. Okay. So, look at the Rambam in number 6, in the Perish HaMishnayis. Says the Rambam, Ubebayit sheni lo hayu mit anin lo asiri b'tevet velo shiva asar b'tamuz Ela harotze yitane o shelo yitane. Says the Rambam, like today, those fast days were optional. But v'hayu mit anin tisha ba'av, but they fasted, the Rambam says they fasted on tisha ba'av, afa pi shehu masur litzonam, even though it's optional, mipnei shehuch bulu bo tzarot kamosh yit ba'er b'taniyot. Says the Rambam definitively, it's a machlokas. I don't know how you can have a machlokas on a historical fact. But the Rambam says, during Bayis Sheni, the other fasts were optional, but they all fasted on Tisha B'Av. Why? Because huchbulu botzarot. So now, this is easy. What does the Rambam hold huchbulu botzarot means? Yeah. I'll ask a different thing. What can't huchbulu botzarot mean, according to the Rambam?
Destruction.
Why not?
Because
it hadn't happened yet. The Beit HaMikdash had not been destroyed twice during Bayis Sheni. So Huchbulu Botzarot for the Rambam must mean, you know, the Meraglim thing was so serious and the first Beit HaMikdash was so serious that, okay, but it's a shocking thing. The Rambam says, you know, what does the Rambam think shalom means? It's a slam dunk. What does the Rambam think shalom means? Political sovereignty. Because there was a Beit HaMikdash. Right, so he can't agree with the Ritva that it's a Beit HaMikdash, because then there wouldn't have then there would have been a holiday.
So Rambam and Rashi both agree on that.
Yeah. So now, but now watch the Radvaz. I'm sorry, the Tashbetz. It's a great one because the Tashbetz is as follows: Ubeperush haMishnayot laHarambam Zal Ra'iti Divrei Tema. Whenever you see that, it's like something bad's about to happen. I see doesn't mean it in a good way. I saw the most amazing thing. Oh, I saw the most insane thing, which is what? Shehu mefareisham shebimei hamikdash hayu mitanin ba'av. The Rambam says they fasted during Bayis Sheni. Ve'im bizman she'beit hamikdash kayam hayu mitanim ba'av. If they fasted when it's a beit hamikdash, im kain kra dichtiv dehavi sasong v'simcha matay yihiyazeh. Right, the Tashmi says wants no part of this. What do you mean? The pasuk says one day these fast days will be holidays. Says the Tashmi, well, of course that means when there's a Beit HaMikdash. How could the Rambam think that they fasted? And then the last bastion of a shita, which you just can't stomach, says the Tashmi, it's so great. V'nireh shemashe katav harav zal bezeh hu ta'ut sofer. The Rambam didn't really write this. It's like a scribnal, is that what he calls scribnal error?
Scribal.
The Tashbait says the Rambam knew how to read a Gemara. He couldn't have gotten it wrong. But of course, I don't think he got it wrong. I think the Tashbait is wrong. The Rambam really held this way. He read the Gemara differently. He thought shalom meant political sovereignty. And why am I sure? Because that's what the Rambam says. Look at number 8. The Rambam says, "Mipnei zeh nitavu kol Yisrael nivehem v'chachmeim limot ha-Mashiach." Why do we want Yimot HaMashiach so much, says the Rambam? He doesn't really talk about the Beit HaMikdash. We're in number 8. He says, "Kidei sheyanuchu mimalchuyot she'inan manichot lam lasok b'torah mitzvot kahogen." Says the Rambam, what's great about Yimot HaMashiach? We'll be able to make our own decisions. We'll be able to build a society in the image and with the foundational principles that we believe God wants, and we won't have to worry about what other people say. Lefikach, the Rambam imagines in those days, Yilmad kalam v'yore otam derech Hashem v'yavo kol agoyim l'shamor. Be great, says Rambam. Yimot HaMashiach hu ha'olam hazeh va'olam kimin hago holeich. It's pretty much the way things are now, except for what? Political sovereignty. The Rambam loved the Beit. I'm not worried that the Rambam, he wrote Hilchos Beis HaMikdash. Rambam was completely into the Beit HaMikdash. But for the Rambam, I would say it's sort of what you were saying. Shalom comes first. What I really need is to not have to worry about, the Security Council and Trump, and I just need, to be able to make my own decisions. I need to be able to act self-confidently. Now, again, presumably, that's a function of not having to worry about war, and not having to worry about, a defense budget, and it's true. But the Rambam imagines the time to be idyllic, because he thinks we'll be able, it's scary, because there are a lot of us who worry, oh my God, what will we have to do? We make our own decisions. But for the Rambam, that's the whole point, and that's why I'm convinced that the Tashbait is wrong. The Rambam Shita is really the Rambam Shita. That shalom means political sovereignty. And political sovereignty for the Rambam is critical for religious growth.
Would he think that we have political sovereignty?
Huh?
Would the Rambam think we have political sovereignty?
How would I know? I don't know. I know that I come off as being really smart and all-knowing. But I don't know. I don't know. It's not fair to ask me that question. Would the Rambam? You could argue it either way. Yeah.
Both Zechariah and Haggai both suggest initiating a building process to gain either religious elevation or a better economy, more sovereignty, as if building it.
I don't want to debate that. I don't want to debate that. Whether we should be building it now or now is not the subject of this year.
No, that's what they said then.
Huh?
That's what they told them at that time.
Okay, well, we're reading a pasuk in Zechariah. There may be some other pasuk I never heard of.
But what I'm saying is that a building does not equate with Mashiach. Just the fact that there's the
it's not that the Rambam doesn't think that there'll be a Beit HaMikdash Limot HaMashiach. But when he talks about the glory of Yimot HaMashiach, at least here, right, it's more societal
than it is a building.
Correct. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to minimize the building for the Rambam, because I think I could find you plenty of Rambams where he goes on and on about how fantastic the building is. But I think in this context, the building shows up second, I would think. Here's the fact. The Rambam says they fasted on Tisha B'Av during Bayis Sheni. Okay, that's enough to tell me what the Rambam really thinks. Okay, and it's really strange. It's almost like, I don't know how that's... Maybe this is a dangerous thing to say. It's like celebrating like the yard site of your first wife, when you're married, when you have a second wife.
People do.
Or forget that. No, they do that. No, the anniversary. Let's say that, right?
Oh, that might be a little bit stepping.
Honey, let's go out tonight to celebrate my anniversary with my first wife.
Right?
There's something, you know, there is something that undermines.
She just wants to go out to dinner. She doesn't really care.
Yes, don't be the reason.
Okay.
Political sovereignty will never happen. Right?
You know, you would think that a shir on Chorban Beis HaMikdash would generate a little more.
Yes.
Okay, but fine. It's probably my fault.
Yeah, no, but
okay.
One question.
Yes.
I mean, I know we're talking with all these different criteria. It seems like these are all like external circumstances. But is there anything internally like about B'nai Yisrael?
Yes.
Interactions with each other.
Excellent. Excellent. It's like you're a plant. That's exactly where I want to go. And I think that that's what we started, and that's where we're ending. Because I think that while this discussion is fascinating and it matters, right, it misses the point. And the point is buried. It's not buried. It's right there. We just don't read it. Look back at the first source. Okay. The delegation from Chutz La'aretz comes and asks a question. In Parag Zion, Psukim, you know, Aleph, Bet, and maybe Gimel. Okay? Now, that second paragraph, Zechariah's answer is where? Parag Chet, Pasuk Yud Chet. The way I read it to you, which was dishonest, but hey, you get what you pay for. The way I read it was, you know, here's the question, here's the answer. But it's not like that. It's not like that. And now, if you look at source number 10, I'll bring you, not the whole thing, it's worth reading the whole thing, but the highlights. And this is where what I think is really going on, and it's not just me who saw this, I heard this for the first time from Rabbi Leaptag and other places. It's so obvious. This is the next puzzle. Vahid Vashem Tzvakot Elai Lemor. Okay, they came and asked him the question. Here's the answer. Emor, God says to Zechariah, Emor El Kol Am Ha'aretz Vel HaKohanim Lemor. Tell them as follows. Kitzamtem v'safod b'chamishi uv'ashivii v'zeh shivim shana. When you've been fasting, right, on the fast days, these past 70 years, hatzom samtuni ani, God says, have I been fasting? It's obviously weird, but... Now he says, v'chi tochlu v'chi tishtu, and if you eat and drink this year, Hallo atem ha'ochlim ve'atem ha'shotim. It's you who are eating and you who are drinking. Translation. You come to me and ask about fasting. I don't think that's the issue, God says. I never told you to fast. I don't fast. I don't eat. Right? It's as if, you know, you come, all you care about is the fast day. And God says, tell Zechariah, tell them, you're asking the wrong question. What's the right question? See, the frum question is, what's the halacha, right? Do I fast or do I not fast? But there's something more important. What are the fast days about? That's where we started. What caused it to begin with? And you can't miss it. It's painful to read. Third line. Is it your third line? Sorry. Yeah, third line. Pasuk test. Come, Hashem Tzvakot Lemor. Forget all this stuff. Mishpat Emet Shvotu. Judge honestly. V'chesed v'rachamim asu ish et achiv. And be gracious and merciful one to another. Right? It's almost like forget the frum stuff. Right? Just be good people. Pasuk Yud. V'almana v'yatom, widows and orphans, ger v'ani, strangers and poor people, al tashokum, don't afflict. V'ra'at ish achiv al tachshivu bilvavchem, and don't think poorly one of the other. Now, this is what I've been telling you, says the Navi, you know, for 1,000 years. V'yima'anu lehakshiv, you refuse to listen. Vayitnu katev soreret, and you turned your back, you know, va'aznehem ichbidu mishmoa. God says, I didn't tell you, you know, a bunch of obscure halachas of netilas yadayim, right, and shmita and things like that. I told you to build a moral, just society. To say an irreligious word. Social justice. Okay? Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayihi ka'asher kara v'lo shameyu. I called out to you, Ki'ilu, to tell you to do these things. You didn't listen to me. Kein yikru'u v'lo eshma amar Hashem tzvoko. So now you cry out to me, and I don't listen to you. Right? It couldn't be any clearer. There's plenty more psukim I just skipped. Pasuk Yudalit. What happened? He says specifically, Ve'esso'areim al kol ha'goyim asher lo yida'um. And I scattered you, you know, amongst the Gentiles. Ve'aretz no'ashama achareihem me'over me'shav. And the land lay desolate from people passing by. Va'yosimu eretz chemda l'shama. And I turned your beautiful land into a, you know, into a wasteland. Okay, why? Because you weren't good people. Not because you fasted or didn't fast. Because you weren't good people. Because you weren't good to widows and orphans. And you weren't just. And you weren't fair. And you didn't support each other. And now he says, Ko'am Hashem Tzvakot. Od yeshvu zikenim uzkenot b'rchavot Yerushalayim. It's just a beautiful pasuk, right? One day the day will come. And maybe this is part of it. We've seen this. That Yerushalayim will be filled with old people. Imagine this. There'll be people who are so old that they need canes to walk. Okay? We see this with our own eyes. Okay? There were I'll just tell you this. Rav Amital, I must tell the story before. Rav Amital used to tell told us that when he came after the war, when he came to Israel, so the first few days, like, he'd have to walk to yeshiva. There was a field where some kids would play. And he said he'd stand and stare at the kids because he hadn't seen children playing in years. And he said then the kids would run away because he was like a creepy old man. He wasn't so old, but he was staring at them. He said it was like we take for granted the vision of, you know, part of the vision of the Geula, and this is the part we see already, is Yerushalayim filled with children and old people, right? Let's see, did I put it down here? The streets will be filled with children. Rav Amital used to say this also. He said, you know, sometimes it's hard to mourn a building that you never saw. Right? You know, sometimes it's easier to think in human terms about old people and young people, you know, being massacred and returning, and Jewish life. You know, he thinks that it was easier to focus on Jewish life than to focus on karbanot and things like that, which is just hard to, you know, to make real for us. And so this part is real. Now, that will happen. Pasuk Chet, if you do that. Ve'heveti otam v'shachnu b'toch Yerushalayim. I'll bring you back. You'll live in Yerushalayim. V'hayu li la'am v'ani ayeh lahem le'elokim. When or how? Be'emet u'bitztaka. If you're truthful and you're charitable. And now it comes. Eile hadvarim asher ta'asu. What should we do? Dabru emet ish et re'eyu. Speak honestly. Emet u'mishpat shalom shiftu b'sha'arechem. Judge fairly. Judge honestly. V'ish et ra'at re'eyu al tachshvu bilvavchem. Don't think poorly one of the other. U'shvuat sheker al te'ehavu. Don't lie. Ki et kol eile asher saneti ne'um Hashem. This is what I hate, says God. The next pasuk is Ka'am Hashem Tzvakot Tzom HaRivivit Tzom HaChamishi. Now we can answer another question. First, the first thing is simple, right? What are we supposed to focus on?
Behavior.
Right? Behavior. Being good people. He doesn't say don't put on tefillin, God forbid. He doesn't say don't wash the tefillin, sit down. But he says, if you want to know, you know, what drove us to this, if you want to know what's supposed to be the theme of the 3 weeks and the 9 days and the fast, if what we said at the beginning is true, which is the idea is to do tshuva, then what are we doing tshuva for? If we take seriously the fact that if we were better, we would have a Beit HaMikdash, what do we have to do better? We have to build a better society. We have to be nicer to each other in shul. We have to give more tzedakah. We have to care when somebody shows up to shul, he's a stranger, you don't know him, and new people show up to the shir. You ask them their names. Right? You can learn from Bruce. Okay? He's annoying, but he's good at this thing. Okay? The thing is, if it's really true that these fast days are days of tshuva, So there are days of tshuva for the things that we did wrong. And the Navi couldn't be any clearer. When they came to God, he didn't tell them fast or don't fast at first. He said, why don't we talk about the things that really matter?
The things we're doing wrong.
Right. Now, one second. Now, here's what's unbelievable about this. First of all, it really should change the 3 weeks and the 9 days for us, because if the idea is to work towards something, the thing we're working towards, you know, Tisha B'Av should be the day that you're nicest to people, right? Let's say, you know, Yom Kippur is the day that you're frumest in the Meidom LaMakom sense, and that's as it should be. Tisha B'Av should be the day that you're nicest. So now you can ask yourself, why is Halachi not supposed to say hello? There's interesting things. But the point is, you know, social justice and building a society sounds like it's the prerequisite for, and it fits very nicely into the sheet of the Rambam, which is, it's not about a building, it's about a historical time where people live in peace and people interact themselves a certain way. And this also answers, it's unbelievable, the Pasuk, which we've been focused on, you know, you lebeit Yisrael l'sason l'simcha v'ha'emet v'ha'shalom ehavu. We don't need slogans, just give us the answer. No, the answer is, it's tying it back. Don't forget that. When will it be a holiday? When emet v'shalom ehavu, when people really love truth, when people really love peace, may it be his will that it'll be this year.
Why do we say the reason was destroyed? So why does that have to do with shalom?
The answer is, we're not worshiping Avodah Zarah, right? The world's a completely different place now. It just we would have, if it was all about Avodah Zarah, we'd have a Beis HaMikdash.
No, but the first, second Beis HaMikdash was Zechariah, was before.
Okay, so maybe we were wrong. Zechariah says otherwise.
So I just said, I'm really serious about it. I really serious about it. What you just said. I think that's exactly what we're supposed to do.
Now you're rolling.